So, have you ever been approached by somebody who sells Bitcoin? Oh yeah, you know you have. But listen, crypto is seriously a cool thing, and I am not going to try to sell you on it today, but here is my story of how I spent almost 2 years on a cryptocurrency blogging platform writing serial fiction and made a lot of money. Yeah, that sounds pretty cool, right? It was. I had a ton of fun. All right, guys, saddle up. It's time for 8 second rule. This is 8 second Rule, the podcast about attention-based marketing, where we talk about getting, holding on to, and developing the attention of your ideal audience. You've got 8 seconds. What are you going to do with it? Hey, I am Mark R. Morris Jr., the bull rider of attention-based marketing, copywriting, content writing, marketing, branding, all of that fun stuff. And I have decided to call myself a story coach. So that's where I've landed. That's what I do. I do it for business. I do it for individuals. I do it for speakers. I do it for entrepreneurs. I do it for companies. It's what I've been doing for the past 10, 12, 15 years. It's what I did when I was in theater. It is a method that I use to help find stories and tell them to connect with audiences. And I can do it for you too. So if you're interested in that, you can find me on LinkedIn. If you want to find out more about what the 8 second rule is, it's all about cowboys staying on bulls for 8 seconds until the buzzer sounds so they can score points. It's all about basketball teams bringing the ball down the court past the half court line so the ref doesn't turn the ball over to the other team. And it's all about the time you have to catch the attention of any audience with any piece of content that you put online or anywhere else in the world, really. So that's what we're here for. And today I'm going to tell you about how I gave my attention to a cryptocurrency platform and wrote some really cool, fun, funky fiction while I was doing it. It was a blast, and I'm glad I did it. And now you get to hear the story. So you've been following along now for a little bit on my solopreneur journey, my adventures as a wacky person. And so far, I've stuck my fork in two businesses in just as many years. If you remember parts 5 and 6 of my story, and now I'm back to the writing grind. So in the early days, this was like two full-time jobs. First, I'd spend an hour or two a day putting out proposals on every writing gig that suited my skill set. And of course, it had to have rates that I could find, and then I'd complete my assignments that I had for that day. On top of that, I was still swinging a hammer, picking up some carpentry gigs from time to time, and I was still working on some set design work from old theater friends, which was great. It was piecemeal, but we didn't starve, and the electric only got cut off very occasionally, and mostly because I was so busy I'd forget it was the day to take the money down to the kiosk to keep it on, and never for more than a couple of hours at a time. And it really wasn't that many times over the course of the years, but it did happen a couple of times. So this whole process of me working this way went on for several years. Eventually, I did develop some great long-term regular clients. One of my favorites was this site about RVs. I wrote articles about almost anything having to do with them, from road trip tips to unusual styles of RVs and models to stories about rebuilding old campers, complete with really cool pictures, and that was fun. I also kept a few of my blogging clients from the social media company, and they were great regular customers that paid several $100 a month each. My byline appeared on over 10,000 online articles during this time, with a total readership of over 25 million people on at least 4 continents. I was the most famous unknown writer in the world. Thank you very much. So I started doing more ghostwriting for a few friends, and as my book writing skills improved, I was able to steadily raise my rates and my composition speed. I was increasing my income exponentially, because if you can do a thing and get paid for it, and you can learn to do it faster, you can also charge more, and you can get more done. Win-win, right? So most of the work I was doing wasn't that fun, but I couldn't really complain. I was working from home. I was in the local library, a coffee shop, in the car waiting for my kids to get out of rehearsals, even on a vacation in Vegas, where I managed to pay for our trip while my wife was in her training sessions for her business. And then we'd go out and party all night. It was pretty sweet. Well, this is the thing that many don't know about solopreneurs. It's often more about freedom than it is money. Because by this point, I'd gained enough skills that if I'd gone into the workplace, I probably could have worked myself up into a job that paid as well as what I was making as a writer. But I certainly would not have had the freedom to live my life the way I wanted to. And I was working more than I could get from any regular job that I was qualified for. So it would take me a while to get back to where I was. And I wasn't all that interested in most of them. And I could be where I wanted to, when I wanted to. And my work hours could increase or decrease at will, pretty much. And so did the income. So I would double down and speed through a bunch of stuff for a couple of weeks. And then I'd take a spontaneous trip or buy something we needed. But in my heart, what I really wanted to do was get back to telling stories, back to fiction. In the theater, fictional stories have been my passion. I mean, whether it was someone else's or my own stuff, I got to design it. I got to build it. I got to direct the pace and the flow of how those stories were told. I loved every second of it. All told, I got to climb up inside and tinker around with the storylines of over 100 of America's favorite stories. And in the process, I learned more about pacing, plot, character, dialogue, and theme than I ever did studying creative writing. But I had this fundamental fear of my work being rejected. I just did. How stupid is that? I was getting paid up to $150 an hour to write for people all over the world, but I was afraid to submit my stories to an editor. Isn't that dumb? Then one day in writers group on Facebook, I saw a post. Now, it might help you to understand what writers group is. So let me just explain this. On Facebook, writers group is the largest of its kind that I know of. It's just called writers group. And at the time, it had around 40,000 members. Now it's like up around 100,000. It's better moderated now, but back then it was the Wild West. It was free for all. You could say pretty much whatever you want. You could find fights about who was a real writer, see trolls bashing beginners. You could get great advice from industry veterans and share some of your own work if you could stomach the losers that bagged on everybody who ever put a piece of work up there. So I was hanging out in there one day when I found this post. It said, "I'm thinking of trying Steam It. Supposedly you get paid for posting to this social media site, but I think it's a scam." That's what this said. Well, of course, I had to find out. So I typed in steamit.com, S-T-E-E-M-I-T, if you want to check it out. It's still there. And away I went. I wouldn't crawl out of that rabbit hole for almost 2 years. And when I did, I brought some money with me. And I'm going to tell you all about it in the next segment coming right up. So, what is Steemit? Steemit is a blockchain system, and they have a cryptocurrency, a coin called Steem, S-T-E-M, that powers transactions on the platform. So the platform itself was similar to Facebook or LinkedIn, but you could post almost any length of work you wanted. So it was like a blogging social media platform. You earned your money in Steem coins, which could be converted into dollars, and also were appreciating in value at the time because the coin was going up with Bitcoin. So I had to try it. I mean, I had to, right? So I signed up. And this time, instead of it being a $0 startup, I got the $0 plus startup. They actually gave you coins at the time valued at around $8. Okay. The more Steam you held, the more vote power you possessed. And this is what drove the daily reward distribution. So you posted your work, you shared it around in different groups with your friends and whoever you were connected to, you waited for the votes, and if the right people liked your stuff, you could make as much as 400 or 500, as much as $800 in one day just off of one piece. And then some days you took your $20 and you said thank you. So here's something that I've learned about myself. If you put me in a crowd, I'll rise to above the middle somewhere, okay? Every single time. I'm not smarter or better or funnier or even more charming than everybody else, but I know how to tell a damn good story. I really do. So I'd risen through the ranks at Demand Media writing Home Improvement. I'd taken the top search spot for social media on LinkedIn, and I knew if I could find my audience on Steam, that I would make it sing. I would make it sing for me. I would make that platform my biatch, as the saying goes. So I started off with some short stories. And it seemed like they were going pretty good. I was writing, I was editing at least 3,000 to 5,000 short story a day, 3,000 to 5,000 words, okay? And that for me was just, it was so much freaking fun. And then I started serializing, and I put some of those into some longer novellas. And this worked even better because people kept coming back. I found if I could get people to vote on each piece, if I kept going with the same storyline, then I tried some novels. So the secret was in the platform, as it always is, and I studied it hard. I started making friends with those that had the biggest accounts. It wasn't hard to do that because the platform was completely transparent, like more so than LinkedIn. I joined the biggest groups I could find. I would comment on the most popular work, and I maintained relationships with as many people on the platform as possible. While others were playing the media game, I remembered the social game, and I tried to be good at it. It had its ups and downs, but for almost 3 years, it paid my bills and fed my family. Most importantly, I got an opportunity to do something I hadn't done since I was a kid. I had time to actually work on the craft of fiction because I'd written a couple of things when I was in theater, but there was always a rush. And I was loving every second of this. So the crypto part was pretty cool too. The concept that they had for this site was to produce a sustainable, community-driven, crowd-funded economy. It almost succeeded, guys. As the coin grew in value, so did the small holdings that I set aside, right? To build my voting power and my reputation. Because if you held on to some of the coin, then when you voted, it meant more. So people would court you. They would try to get you to vote for their stuff. It made you more popular on the site. It gave you some authority. So I learned how to work the exchanges, and I engaged in some coin trading, but mostly I worked it like a job, and I took my winnings and went home, just cashed out, okay? As the community grew, there was a lot of discontent among those who were not good at creating content. That's what the site had been built for, was that the content creation would be the actual mining of the coin. If you know anything about how crypto coins work, it was the process that actually developed the coin. And because that platform itself was the central asset of the Steam environment, then the traffic that came to it was what was driving the value. Okay. So some found a way around it, with one of the best paid accounts serving up nothing but coin reports on the platform's two currencies. So every day he would put up Steam and Steam-based dollar, like a stock market platform, right? SBD, the Steam-based dollar, was the liquid currency you exchange on the platform for whatever. You could pay people to write something for you. You could do whatever you wanted with it. Steam got converted to SBD and then from there into dollars. You had to sell it for Bitcoin and then dollars, I think. But then you could draw down from your earnings. So it was a fairly convoluted system, and it took a while to learn it. But that part of it was kind of fun too. So part of the value of it was tied to Bitcoin. And as it went and rose, so did Steam. And this was when Bitcoin was going crazy. So 1 week you were up, the next week you were off a bit. But all in all, for about 3 years, it was great. I found this online debit card that I could cash in my coins for dollars on the card without paying the exchange fees, which was great. And then over time, I moved into 3 different profiles, which was perfectly legit on the platform. You just funded the establishment of your next profile from the one that you already had. You basically lent it some power to get started. So that allowed me to cross promote, and then I could split my content production between fiction and Steam at tutorials, kind of like I do on LinkedIn. If you're over there and you find me, it's Mark R. Morris Jr. And I talk a lot about doing social media and about LinkedIn in particular. So what it started out as just basically a joke to see what a troll was griping about on Facebook turned into a hobby that became my living for almost 3 years. My plan was to stick with it for 5 years, cash out my nest egg, move into publishing fiction, but online platforms are subject to the laws of entropy, and over time, things became more chaotic. And that's what I'm going to tell you about in the final segment of... So, things were going good, but as people became increasingly dissatisfied, that's when the bots showed up. Because blockchain is the Wild West of the internet, there are very few rules about what you could post, how you could post, what you could do with your coins, or really much of anything else. The hard limits of the technology were really the only fences. It was digital anarchy. Because everything was transparent, though, it kept everyone honest because you could see what was in everybody's bank and what they were using it for. Until they withdrew it from the platform and took it somewhere else, every single transaction was tracked. So you couldn't really steal from anyone because everybody could see you do it, basically. Okay. Once the non-creatives, let's call them, began to complain, these debates started. The entire premise of the platform was to reward creators for creating content. That's why I came there. Unlike Facebook, that uses your content to fuel their empire, and they don't even say thank you. I mean, they just own your stuff outright. Steemit was there to make everybody a stakeholder in the platform. But not all stakeholders were even. Through earning or buy-in, you could gain power and influence with your vote. So what I didn't realize to make a long story short was that there were people who were actually buying in and gaining more power. So at first it was mostly the mighty downvote. So you could downvote people's content, right? So a whale, a huge account with a large stake, could downvote your content, wipe out your earnings right before your payout. So if you had a nice chunk of like $500-$600, I pissed one of them off one time. And he basically robbed me. Because what would happen is the minute that he downvoted you, all that money would go back into the prize pool and it would be distributed to all the other accounts. Because basically what happened was every day there was a certain amount of coin that was created and that got divided up among all of the available votes. So everybody who voted that day, depending on their steam power, they assigned a certain part of that prize pool. It might be as little as 1/10 of a cent, or it could be $400 in one vote. And if one of those guys hit you, you know, right before you were going to get paid out, that was it. You were done. There's nothing you could do. Then several enterprising early adopters started writing ads to sell their vote power. And it could be assigned to different people. So soon it became this thing where most of the votes were bought and paid for, which meant that quality content might or might not get rewarded, which meant my game, which was to write good stuff, just really wasn't cutting it anymore. And more of the whales on the platform started farming out their accounts to other people to manage, or dividing them up and like renting all of their power, right, to different people. Because what you could do is you could keep your power inside your account, but you could lend it to someone else. So you didn't have power. You didn't have the ability to vote it unless you took it back. But they had the ability to vote it. So essentially, that's what they were doing, and just letting their investment grow. And they were stepping off the platform. They were bored with it. So the ability to count on solid payouts started to dwindle. So a lot of people argued that the platform was becoming more equitable because, you know, the higher earners weren't there anymore. But to me, it cheapened the whole concept. Sadly, there's hardly anywhere in this world where any but the very few top performers are paid a living for just being creative. And this was one of those places. But as the bots grew in number, the creators began to leave. So it seemed like pure capitalism would win the day without the creators. The site lost traffic because there was no new content being created. So the developers had their stake. They had made their millions. They were on to another project. People who complained were told they should be happy to just create, that this shouldn't have been a serious place to earn anyway, because we, the bigger earners, were greedy Never mind, that's what drove the success of the platform. So they cut off their nose to spite their face. The platform was diversifying into audio and video along with a photo sharing app, and it was all paying Steam for votes. So I played the game, and I got back on top for a bit by diversifying my content, doing some other stuff, but it became apparent that the vote buyers were going to keep taking the lion's share of the reward pool, which meant you would have to reinvest about 70 to 80% of what you were taking in just to get your rewards up. And since that pool was static each day, it really wasn't changing much, and the price of Steam was going down. So if you couldn't afford to live on a third of your earnings while spending the other two-thirds on votes, there really wasn't a way to make it happen anymore. One cool thing that happened was the third world got on board. And this was cool because I watched as some that had never earned more than a few dollars a month were earning like $100 a day. And they were so excited. These guys from Nigeria and different places in the world. My total take from the site was more than I had earned in 2 years of my whole life. So when I decided to leave, I still had an account worth a lot of money, which paid me every 2 weeks as I powered it down. So that gave me a couple of months to figure out what to do next. At the highest point, Steam-based dollars reached $14 US. Let's just say we had a really good Christmas and a nice vacation that year. So my little experiment taught me a lot of things. If the bots hadn't changed the voting environment and the governments hadn't started cracking down on crypto, causing Bitcoin to dive, I might still be doing this. I really enjoyed it. I probably would. So what I found next, though, was one of the most fun ways to earn money I've ever engaged in. It's one that Gary Vee touts as one of his favorites too. So I'll tell you about it next time. Okay? Thanks for listening. That's all of my story for part 7. If you like it, please share it. Please find me on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe to my show. If you get onto Anchor, you can leave me a voice message. I'd love to have it. If you find me on LinkedIn, please say hello. Tell me you've been listening. Tell me what you like about the show. All right, guys, listen, I thank you so much because we've gotten over 2,000 downloads now in 60 days for this show. And that's just amazing. And I hope to be able to take this until millions of people are listening to it because I'm really having fun and I hope you are too. All right. So thanks for being here. Have a great day. Okay, so the free tool for this episode of Anchor is one that I've talked about before, sort of. It's Headliner, HEADLINER.R, Headliner app, and it is an instant video maker. And here's one of the really cool features, guys. With my podcast, I want to take it and put it onto YouTube, but I really wasn't prepared to go back and make video episodes of all 60 of these. And I thought about going to video and decided I just really didn't want to do it. So I haven't done it because I know I said I was going to a couple times. I'm sorry I said that if you were looking forward to seeing my ugly mug. It's out there, but just not that much. But one thing that this platform Headliner does is it will actually take your podcast episodes and convert them into video format so that you can upload them into places like YouTube. And it will do this automatically. Every single new episode that I put up is going to have a video made by Headliner with a chosen template and a waveform video in the background with my logo behind that. So it'll go onto YouTube and some other places. And that's really cool because what they basically do is they take it, they get your RSS feed, they take it, they make it, they email you a link, and then you can share it wherever you want to. And if you want to get the pro version, which I went ahead and did, it's $25 a month or it's $20 a month if you want to pay annually. But if you want to just do the free version, it will still do this for you because they allow you to do a lot of free videos, actually. And it's a pretty cool little site. So I recommend it. Also, it will do short, like 60-second videos. And so I'm going to be having some little trailer type stuff over on TikTok and a few other places. And I'm going to be able to do that for every single episode in this show. And I'm so excited about that. So I hope you guys will find me there. Before too long, I'm about to just brand the snot out of 8-second rule. So you should be seeing me pretty much everywhere you go. All right. Hey, have a great day. And remember, you've got 8 seconds. Figure out what you're going to do with it.